It's time for our weekly Fargo Force Coaches Conversation. This week, we're with Associate Head Coach of the Force and Jimmy Mullen. Coach, you guys had a long road trip a week ago. You won the first one in Sioux City, dropped both in Lincoln. If you look at the last 2 weeks, you're 2-3. You still have a great record, but how do you think the team handled that odd three-game weekend, early puck drop in Sioux City on Thursday into a couple of late games in Omaha last weekend?
Yeah, so obviously it's been fun for all of us, right? Like, we get on the road, it's still early, guys are still excited. That morning game was actually a ton of fun. I think the Sioux City venue did a great job of getting a ton of kids there, and I think at this part of all these kids' careers, the playing in front of fans, whether they're 6th, 7th graders or if they're season ticket holders, it's a lot of fun, right? So getting up for an 11 o'clock game in Sioux City had to be pretty easy because it was kind of rocking in there. It was a lot of fun. So our guys responded well. Obviously, Tesser came out and had a huge night. But I thought as a team, we had a lot of success. We finished opportunities that we needed to. Our special teams came up big. I think it was just a lot of times where at 11 o'clock game, that's what time we practice. So it was kind of fun for everybody.
Awesome. And when you transition into Lincoln for the weekend, yep, a couple of tough matchups, right? One, you guys really didn't get the offense going, and the other one, it seemed as though the offense rolled a bit, but you gave up some opportunities, chances that Lincoln capitalized on. Was it a gameplay thing for you guys? Was it a long road trip? How did that weekend play out in those couple of losses, and what did your team learn about themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I think first game, the 4-0 game, it's crazy. I know as coaches, we have too much information. I think analytically, like, we had really good puck possession numbers. We just didn't – I think that they – outworked us at the net front, right? So they had some good finishability in the net front, and they did a really good job at containing us once they got up. And I think that's the next step of our team is when we're down, like, and teams are playing above us and not giving up much, how are we going to find that kind of blue collar offense, which, again, we have really good puck possession numbers. We just got to take a step in that net front and kind of be battle tested there. So it was a really good test. And then obviously going into Saturday, and then give credit to Lincoln. They've got some O5s that are having great seasons already. I think Pelletier's got a goal a game, and that whole line, I think it was 8, 10, and 11. They're a team that's won before. They've been a part of a winning organization, right? So they kind of have that belief in their locker room. And for us, like, going up, like, I thought we had the game pretty well controlled. Our puck possession numbers, we were finishing. Saginaw got back on the score sheet. Obviously got some secondary scoring with Sibniewski. Like, I think we were in a pretty good spot. And then you know how it goes. Like, if you've ever been in Lincoln, there it's definitely a battle of, like, a roller coaster of emotions, right? And I think it's a good learning experience for our team, especially early, because you're up 3-1. It doesn't mean that the game's over, right? Like, they pushed and they pushed and they pushed and they stayed patient. I round the kill, so I can speak very candidly of it. We made two major glaring mistakes that gave him two big goals. And I would say that was kind of the momentum driver of the game. I thought our kill has been good this year, but I would say that's the first time this season that it kind of bit us. And then, unfortunately, we didn't finish the game like we wanted to. So I think our guys, we had practice Monday, Tuesday. The excitement's up. I don't think anybody lacks any belief of who we are and where we're going. It just got to the point where we're learning a couple hard lessons. We got to learn through success earlier in the season, and now a little bit of a sour taste going into the weekend, but hopefully that helps us going into Youngstown.
We had asked a week ago Coach Skinner a bit about you had mentioned the penalty kill. You guys take the least amount of penalty minutes in the entire league to this point this season, which, you know, through 15 games, you're 25% of the way through the season. You're starting to get some of those repeats or your analytics are starting to become a little bit more leveled out. It's not just a 3 or a 4 game, kind of sample size from that at that point. How are you guys able to play so clean, but also, you know, keep games physical, things of those sorts? Because I know and kind of talking a bit, you take 2 or 3 penalties a game. As long as it's not a dumb penalty, it's a competitive thing. Maybe it's an inadvertent high stick, or maybe there's a tripping on something that you were fighting for a puck in the crease area, something of that sort. How are you balancing trying to go about those with, I suppose, smart penalties when things are committed, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it's funny because, like, when you look at it from the offensive side, like, I think Coach Skinner, over his tenure here so far, has done really well at puck possession. And I think, I don't know what it is today, but I do know that our puck possession, like ozone possession time, was one of, if not one, two, or three in the league going into last weekend. So when you have the puck on your stick, you don't take a lot of penalties. So I think for us, we pride ourselves on and that's one of our game goals, and Skins talks about it with our guys about what kind of penalties we were taking. Was it something that we could have gotten away with? Was it something that you thought was necessary? And we talk about that, and I agree with you. Like, we've taken very few penalties. It's just it's getting to the point where we just got to keep we got to start drawing some more. I think our power play a couple weeks ago was doing really well. We just need to give them more opportunities. And the fact that we had more puck possession against Lincoln that second game and didn't draw one power play is kind of that's an anomaly to me. But I'm not a ref.
I see what you did there, Coach. When I look at the stats, and I always love to look at the special team stats. I mean, there's not, in a sense, a ton of information when it comes to special teams on there. But one thing I usually look at is that power play percentage, as you were kind of alluding to. Obviously, the penalty kill has been one of the best in the league the last several years. But that power play, I know that a few weeks ago when we talked to Skins, it was probably closer to like 10% on it. It's up to 14.3. You moved out of the bottom. You're still 14th. Is it just about getting those opportunities more so than anything? Because obviously sometimes when there is a lot of turnover on these junior league teams, it takes a while to build up that chemistry on the power play. So over the last couple of weeks, then, have you continued to see improvements in that power play and the players kind of getting more comfortable playing with each other?
Of course. I think the reality of it is I think maybe Boutella is the only returning power play guy here, and we have 20 quote unquote rookies in this league. Mm-hmm. I think so. When you look at it from a, when I was playing, I think everybody would say everybody's going to start playing their best hockey at snowfall. And lucky for us in Fargo, it hasn't snowed yet. So now we've got a little bit more time until it starts snowing. So I think same thing with power play. It's reps. Like, I mean, you look at Sioux Falls. I mean, I think they have double the amount of power play. So guess what? You get to get in a rhythm. You have double the amount of opportunities to mess up, double the amount of opportunities to have success, right? So for us, it's more of a, we're finding our rhythm. Our guys are starting to feel comfortable with the league. We've had early success, but we were relied upon goaltending. We relied upon our D and some really big time goals at different times. I mean, it seems like a lot of shootouts, a lot of overtimes, right? So now we're going to start getting into the meat of the season where guys can take a deep breath. They're not gripping their sticks as much, and they just get to go out and execute. I love where our power play's at. I love our team in that regard. It's just going to be as a matter of time where we start relying on them and they'll start winning us hockey games.
It's amazing your guys' record so far. 9-5-0-1, I believe it is. You're tied for the tops in the Western Conference. But the thing that probably I would assume a lot of Fargo Forest fans want to know about is that you've only scored 38 goals. So you're absolutely correct. You've been really relying on those goaltenders, and AJ and Allen have been playing absolutely fantastic to start the year. What, if anything, can be done to really jumpstart that offense? Is it just about those opportunities, both on the power play and even strength, or is there something that can be done to try and help the guys find the back of the net?
Yeah, that's honestly, I feel like that's the million-dollar question right now. I think we are, I think, third in the league in expected goals for, mm-hmm. which should mean a lot to a lot of people. But then when you go into like the actual, unfortunately for us, I don't know if our chances are correlating to the goal scoring. I think we're 17th. So like, if you think about that in a 16 team league where they have two USA teams, like our actual is one of the highest, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess when you take the good with the bad, it's like, hey, like sooner or later, we got to sacrifice a chicken. We got to go to our favorite Major League Baseball movie and find a way to get a Joe Boo or something in here. I don't know. But Again, we love our systems. We love what we're doing. We have multiple opportunities, but I guess the whole you can lead a horse to water, you can't make them drink. We've tried to be hard. We've tried to be like have a comedic side to it to get the guys to produce. But when we have 30 slot scoring chances or 30 shots in from the slot last game, I mean, that's an astronomical amount of opportunities to bury. So we just didn't get a chance to finish it off last game. But I, to your point, when you find the answer for us, let us know. But we're going to steal Skins's line after our last game was we're going to stay with the process. We're going to keep doing what we're doing because at the end of the day, sometimes the expected goals start matching up with your actual.
Well, and that's something that has always been interesting talking with Coach Skinner is his use of analytics. And when he said that a couple weeks ago, that your expected goals for is around where you think it's supposed to be, your expected goals against when we were talking about the goaltenders is usually above where it could be. I mean, it's better than you would think it would be. I find that interesting. And is that something using the expected goals for and the expected goals against, is that something maybe more of the diehards, the coaches are into and not a lot of fans? Because I think when he explained it that way, it kind of, I guess, especially when it comes to the goaltenders, realize how well the goaltenders are playing. So it kind of calms my nerves as a fan. But is that something that a lot of fans out there you think really either know or even understand when it comes to expected goals?
No, I don't think, to be honest with you, let's just call it a buzz phrase. I think for us, it's like, are we teaching the kids the proper X, Y, and Z to make them have success? Mm-hmm. And when the numbers are saying yes, that means that, like, hey, like, if we weren't getting any shots on goal and we were teaching these ozone concepts and we weren't, or on the vice versa, we're sticking with the same D zone and we're getting scored on every game. It's more of like, are we limiting offensive opportunities against, or are we creating offensive opportunities like for, right? Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it's a good check and balance for a coach of just like, hey, like, we're given all these analytics. The world has grown so much to where if you have the tools, you might as well use them. But I think, like, take that all aside. If I'm a fan, just like, I'd start looking at the score clock and say, wow, they've got 37 shots on goal today. Maybe law of averages, you're supposed to score 1 of 10. Mm-hmm. So maybe we should have 4 goals on the board right now. So it's like, it's more of that. It has nothing to do with anything other than we need to stay confident. We need to stay with what we're doing. And regardless of analytics and numbers, like, we got to be hungrier at the net front. We have to have a better net front presence. We have to have guys that are willing to grit and bear and score a dirty way. And it doesn't always have to be pretty. And then I think the floodgates will start opening once we start finding ways to have like a blue collar offense at the net front. We can do all the concepts on breakouts and neutral zone, but sooner or later you got to will one in.
Absolutely. Coach, when it comes to, you know, watching games as I've done, watching you guys online, etc., I mean, sometimes when you watch a hockey game, there is just, you might want to call it one of those greasy goals up front or anything like that, but sometimes there's just a bounce of a puck. I mean, I think it was a NCAA tournament game that was held at Shields Arena a number of years ago, and someone put a puck off the back wall over where the Zamboni comes in and out, and it took a weird bounce, and it bounced off the wall, hit the goaltender in the back and went in or something. And sometimes stuff like that just happens. Is that really hard in a sense to kind of not so much keep the guys up, but is it really kind of frustrating as a coach that sometimes the bounces just don't really go your way? And, you know, you got to keep on grinding out there and trying to get a win, trying to get a goal. But sometimes it feels like when you're watching hockey, there's a team that just hits the goaltender in the chest every single time. And other times the other team will get some weird bounce and it just goes in off a skate or something. I mean, how frustrating is it when there's little things like that happen during the course of a game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you can get probably 4 different answers of 4 different hockey coaches. I just think it's not, like, I wouldn't call it frustrating. Like, I think obviously we had 3 backdoor tap-ins that didn't go in last game. We had multiple posts. We had scrums at the net front where we didn't win the battle. I think you're rewarded. I'm a big hockey god guy. It's like, if our practices correlated in where we're burying and our practices correlated in just absolutely like working at the net front and battling all the time. Like we preach it. I just think for every team and not just us, it's like you earn your bounces, you earn your puck luck, right? And I think sometimes when they're not going in, it's a really good mental reminder of, hey, can I do more? And mm-hmm. and like that's where we talked about learning through success when we won. Maybe mentally there's times where you don't tell it, like for me, I'll just talk about myself. Maybe I'm not telling a guy to stop him at the net front on a normal warm-up drill. Maybe I'm not hard enough on a guy when he needs to hit the net or something like that, right? So now that like we're not finding the win every single time in our column, it actually allows us to sit back, learn through those mistakes, be able to take a different approach, and then reset. So like frustration isn't where I go with it. I actually go with opportunity. So, but again, I speak for myself. I do know that other people can handle the puck luck thing a little bit differently.
Yeah.
In closing with you today, Coach, you guys are approaching a home weekend, Friday, Saturday against Youngstown, a squad that averages close to 4 goals a night. They have a pretty explosive offense overall. Hopefully I'm not backing you into a corner, but just from what you've seen on film, how you guys approach that, is trying to, because you have a couple of great goaltenders on your squad, is it as simple as trying to keep them on the board side of the ice to not have them in the middle third? Is it as simple as trying to clear out a centerman from in front of your goaltender? How do you guys approach a team that seems to find the back of the net regularly and try and limit those opportunities for them?
Actually, yeah, I think all the above, but I think it's going to come down to our details. Like, it's a team that loves to play in the high ice, a team that loves to make plays, and they've got it. They're very well coached. They're very well, like, their systems are good. Their power play's kicking. They've got very talented hockey players. Like, with that being said, we do too. We check every one of those boxes. I think for us, it's like, if we're willing to play winning hockey, I like our chances. If we're willing to make their game hard and make them go 200 feet and we limit up like mistakes, right? I think give them all the credit in the world just because I'm on an interview and I get to do it. But for us, it's going to be a testament of who are we this weekend and who are we going forward? Because if we see ourselves making a path for the Clark Cup, it might go through Youngstown, right? So this is a really good battle test for us. And it's going to be stick details, structure, stopping and starting. And then you alluded to it. They're averaging 4 goals a game, but we should be. So hopefully the floodgates open this weekend, and it's going to start with practice today and already started on Monday.